Welcome to 21 Grams Speaks, the podcast where I, Dennis, the creator of 21 Grams, chat with my talented friends about a wide range of topics from mental health, addiction, and recovery to religion and politics. We dive into honest conversations to broaden our perspectives and share them with you. Thank you for joining us as we explore the complexities of these subjects, bringing you thought-provoking insights. I'm Dennis, your host, and this is 21 Grams Speaks. What's up, guys? This is Dennis with 21 Grams Speaks. Today, I have a good friend of mine, somebody that I've known since junior high school, and we're both old as shit, so you can do the math on that. It's been a long time that I've known this dude. Really just recently, we've kind of rekindled our friendship. We've gotten very close over the last two-ish years, and feels like we picked up right where we just left off. And those kind of relationships are the best. So it's been really cool. It's my friend Cole Moulton. Cole, do you mind going ahead and introducing yourself and letting people know who you are, what you do, what your story is a little bit?
Yeah, Cole Moulton, like Dennis said. So just to preface this, I want to give you guys a little backstory. Dennis and I met in sixth grade in middle school. It has now been, I was doing the math thinking about this today, Dennis, and it's been roughly 28, 29 years, right? I mean, I just had my 40th birthday last month, well, I guess June, right? So, yeah.
Wow.
We're old as shit, man. We've known each other for a really long time. Yeah, we have reconnected in the past couple of years as you started to get off the ground with 21 Grams, which is awesome, right? At the same time you were doing that, you and I reconnected over, you know, web design, graphic design stuff, right? And
right,
I was
going
to hang out with the website. Well, about the same time as you were doing that, I started my hot sauce business, and it's just taken off from there. And so it's been a crazy journey, right? It's been a good one to get to reconnect with you, see the progress that you're making, and kind of, you know, emanate the fact that you're doing so well in your space. Makes me want to do even better in mine, right? Even
it's so true.
In spaces, right? Like, it's hey, you know, I fucking sold this much, right?
It's like a parallel thing. I always get super pumped when I see what you're doing and adding new products or you know, just the progress and what you're doing and while I'm doing it at the same time. And I think that that's a real testament to our friendship because we're constantly gassing each other up and like, yeah, that's rad. And like, it's so cool to me and it's rad to have friends. And the fact that we started our businesses roughly around the same time and really following our dreams kind of later in life to start businesses. And, you know, you have a family, which is kind of risky. I'm trying to start a family. So I think that for me, and maybe you can add to this, but for me during the pandemic, I really realized that, you know, life is short. Things can be very temporary. Things can be real hectic to kind of just to make yourself happy, you know, which is the most important thing to me. And I really kind of reevaluated what success was. And success isn't the number in your bank account. It really is your happiness level. And I feel like I'm incredibly successful now. And, you know, I'd just like to kind of hear a little bit about what propelled you into doing the hot sauce brand and, you know, a little brief backstory and where you, how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, essentially, obviously we both grew up in Southern California, Huntington Beach, great place to live. It's crazy there, right? Especially now you hear stories like kids doing drugs, super, super young. I was one of those kids, right? And
yeah.
Being in bands and shit like that and just being in that whole scene. It was a party pretty much all the time. Right. And,
yep.
You get older, you graduate high school, go to college, all that shit. You know, it just kept on going, right? Partying, drinking way too much, doing way too many drugs, and it was fun. And then there's a certain point, you know, where I was burnt out from working. I was working valet, right? I was working pretty much like 4 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. In like really nice areas, parking super nice cars and making really good money, but it was just, I was burnt the fuck out, right?
Yeah.
And that was about right around the time that I graduated from school. College. And then after college, I was like, dude, I don't want to do this anymore. Right. Like I was still kind of being in the bands, but I saw like some dudes I was in started doing heavier and heavier drugs. And like, I was like, nah, I don't want to do that shit anymore. I was burnt out. I was tired. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I was dating a girl at the time whose parents lived like in the middle of nowhere in Colorado in a small town called Pagosa Springs. Right. And at the time, it was what, 2000, late 2007. We went out there to visit and just like kind of get away from Southern California for a little bit, right? Well, 2 weeks later, I ended up moving there, right? I was just like,
Wow.
yeah, I'm done. I moved there. I didn't have a job. I packed up. I had this little shitty Toyota Camry at the time. It was like a 97, right?
I've had a
Packed
couple of
up with like,
Toyota
right?
Camrys.
Yeah. So like I packed that up with like whatever I would need, right? And it was like the middle of October, drove out there. I just remember driving out there. It was like raining super hard through like New Mexico, like up in the mountains, and then we got to Colorado and it was like snowing like fucking crazy. It was like right before Halloween, right? And so yeah, I moved there without a job, without any kind of idea what I was gonna do. And I ended up getting a job as a teller for Wells Fargo. Well, within a year and a half, I had worked my way up and I was a branch manager for Wells Fargo. Granted,
Wow.
it was a small town. I did that for a while, right? Until I moved away from Colorado, essentially. And that's really when mental health kind of came into play, right? Like, because I wasn't like using drugs and booze as much to self-medicate, but like every single night I got off work, right? I'd come home and just pound a bunch of booze, right? And
Yeah.
then wake up the next day and do it, right? Well, after so many years of kind of doing that, and realizing at a certain point, right before my son was born, I had moved away from Colorado. I'd moved down to Austin. I was living there. I met my wife. We were dating. She ended up moving down. We got married within 3 months of meeting, which is really
Oh,
crazy. Yeah, super, super quick. She told me the first night that we hung out that I was going to marry her, and I thought she was fucking absolutely insane.
wow.
She was right, right? Well, I was still working for the bank then. I had switched from working for Wells Fargo. I was working for Citibank. Citibank got bought out by BB&T, which is like out of North Carolina this direction, right? Yeah, just kind of the same process was happening, right? I was working, stressful job. Where's your sales numbers? Why aren't you guys meeting your loan numbers, right? And I get off work and I just come home and drink, right? And just like
Yeah.
drink to forget, drink to not deal with like all the stress and bullshit of not meeting goals and like constantly being like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that type shit? Well, that lasted, for a little while. About a year and a half after we moved to Austin, or actually my wife moved to Austin, we found out we were going to have our first kid, right? And all through the pregnancy, up until like the last 2 months of pregnancy, I was still drinking, still getting
Yeah.
crazy. And at one certain point, I was like, I can't do this anymore, right? Like, I can't. I got a kid on the way. I need to sober up. Shit's got to change. And I actually checked into a rehab facility.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, super smart move. It was probably the only thing that was going to stop me from doing that, right? And I kind of went at it half-ass. Like my first couple of days, I was like, well, when the fuck can I get out of here? Like, oh, I'm
Yeah.
fine. I'm sober. I'm not going to drink anymore. I was like, that's fucking bullshit. Cause like, if I didn't stay in there, after those first 3 days, I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting it, right? Like it was very structured. Had people come in that were sponsors and talk to us and shit like that, right? And there I really got down to like, I had been through therapy before when I was younger, dealing with a whole other anomaly of me being adopted, right? That's a whole separate story. But when it came down to booze, right, I had never talked to anyone about why I was using and that whole aspect, right? And that's really where I got down to like the whole dual diagnosis, right? Like, hey,
Yeah.
you're an alcoholic, you're using it to alleviate signs of depression and anxiety. And yeah, that's exactly what I was doing, right? This was over 7 years ago now, right? I haven't had a drink.
Oh,
Yeah. So
congratulations. That's rad.
July 10th of this year was 7 years. My son is six and a half now, going on seven in October, right? So
Wow.
so that's kind of a crazy story. When I walked away from the bank and checked into rehab, I had every intention of going back to the bank and working, right? I took FMLA, all that shit. And when I was in rehab, I was just like, fuck this. Like, I can't go back to that job. This is what is causing me so much of this disheartening lack of joy in my life, is this soul-sucking fucking industry that I was in, right? And and that's really what it was, right? And so I walked away. I ended up getting a job working for a web design, graphic design agency out of Arizona, and I was the head of their business development. I was the director of business development. Worked with all these clients that were spending $250,000 on a website, absolutely insane. And during that business development phase, I kind of noticed this trend when dealing with small businesses that they needed something that was done well, right? Instead of just like them throwing something on Wix or using a Google page to like start a website, but they just didn't have the budget. And so I decided to walk away from them and just start doing my own thing with small businesses, startups, shit like that, that have, $1,000, $3,000, $5,000 to build a website and get shit done. And so that really led me to doing that full time, right? And I was doing that Monday through Friday. And that was like my first job working for myself, starting my own business, going through the rigmarole of, filing your own fucking taxes,
It's
which
hard, dude. It's
fucking
really
talking
hard. They don't
about.
tell you about that part.
They don't tell you about anything, right? And so going through, excuse me, coffee and dogs, going through that whole situation. But what ended up happening, right, is COVID hit, right? And me working with small business clients, right, that had brick and mortars, they couldn't even like afford to keep their doors open, pay themselves, let alone pay me to like maintain their website, maintain their back end and make sure shit's up and running. And unfortunately, I had a lot of downtime on my hands. I've always fancy myself a chef, a good cook, right? I mean, growing up in Southern California, you're in the middle of a food mecca, right? And we had like everything at our disposal anytime we wanted to, right? And so I noticed there was a little bit of a gap in the available products here when it came to hot sauces in Texas. I mean, you think of Texas, you immediately think of barbecue, right? I could throw a stone out my front door and hit like three different barbecue joints, right? That are all fucking doing barbecues, sauces, rubs, making brisket, all that shit. But there's literally a handful of hot sauce companies in Texas, and it's absolutely insane. A lot of them are down on the coast, and there was nothing up in Dallas, right? And with all this time on my hands, I literally just started making hot sauces. It was COVID. We weren't seeing friends. We weren't seeing, family or anything like that. I would bottle it and drop it off to friends in the area and just be like, hey, leave it on their doorsteps. We're thinking about you guys, so on and so forth.
That's rad.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it was something fun for me to do
Keep you
to fill my
busy.
time. Yeah, I mean, I had a business. I luckily with my business was able to get a little bit of stimulus money from the government to kind of take over for COVID, right? And so I wasn't really hurting for a paycheck at the time, right? But between me seeing this gap in the market of hot sauces in North Texas, where I'm at, up in Dallas, right? And people telling me, my friends telling me, hey, do you have any more of that hot sauce? I'll buy some off of you. I literally did a bunch of market research. I launched my company in March of 2021 before I even did any single sale online. Did all my branding, all my marketing, and all that shit. And I finally, in June of 2021, did like my first farmer's market. And I ended up selling out of the inventory I was able to make, right?
That's rad.
And now it's just kind of snowballed, man. I say it's my full-time job at this point. To tell you the truth, making hot sauces is not that difficult from my perspective, right? The two things that take me the longest are sitting and waiting for my shit to ferment, right? And that's like 30 days. And then I spend, 2 days in the kitchen blending and bottling. So the hard part of my job now at this point is working a market, working a pop-up, going to a festival and working all weekend. The best part about it is I went from working a soul-sucking job in an industry that didn't give a fuck about me. I was just a number on a spreadsheet to them who, as a branch manager, wasn't meeting sales goals and was on the verge of being fired like every single fucking day, right?
Right.
To finding a niche industry, and I guess it's not so niche anymore with popularity of all these like hot and shit like that, but
Sure.
doing something that I enjoy and something that I love doing and having the time to spend with my family during the week. I get to take my kids to school every single morning. I get to pick them up every single afternoon, right? Weekends are tricky because I do work, typically on a weekend at a festival or market or a pop-up or whatever. But, fact of the matter is my kids are young enough right now that like shit's not going on, right?
Yeah.
And I'm at that point now where I can hire someone to fucking work for me, right?
That's
Like,
rad.
Yeah, it'll be rad. Like, work smarter, not harder, right? Like
It's
anything.
funny that you say all of those things, like as far as how your schedule works, like you're fomenting for these days, and then you're bottling, and then you got to go get your groceries for the hot sauce stuff, and how all of this stuff plays out your weekend markets, because I hear about all of these things consistently by one, being friends with you, and two, working with you, whether it's with my website or just conversation, like, hey man, I'm doing this market this weekend. And every time I hear it, I just, or hey, can we talk after this time? 'Cause I'm picking up my kids, or I'm dropping them off, or this is going on. I mean, even scheduling this podcast, there's just a lot of things that are going on, and it's so exciting to hear your enthusiasm, Cole, going from all of these different steps in your life where, obviously you're giving us the incredibly sped up version. There's all these different chapters in each
Oh, no.
portion of your life that are what they are. But to kind of hear the enthusiasm in your voice and your excitement in telling your story is really inspiring to me. And it's relatable because working for yourself, like, is like what you even mentioned about the taxes. Like, I think the average person that buys our products, like for example, someone that buys your hot sauce, they probably think, well, why am I paying this much money for a bottle of hot sauce or whatever? And they don't realize how much work goes into it. It's not just blending up a few ingredients and throwing them in a bottle. The you know, finding a bottle that you like, all of the different things that you have to do, the research and getting plugged into a network of markets and going to festivals and all of these things is like, that's the part of owning your business that I don't think is ever glamorized on Instagram or discussed on, small business podcasts and stuff like that. It's just the cool photos that we post on Instagram or our stories or our reels that we make. But man, I know for me, some of the hardest things for me is replying to emails, because I get emails where it just says how much, and that just drives me crazy. Or where
This conversation, yeah.
are you where are you located? And I'm like, dude, it's 2023. I can ship anywhere in the world. Like, what do you mean, where am I located? Like, and I get it. They probably think that I'm a brick and mortar shop, but like, even that, like, dude, I can send it anywhere. I ship to New Zealand. I ship to Finland. I ship to wherever. The email part is something I don't care for. The constantly replying to messages, and the window shoppers and the internet, tire kickers, that and shipping, man. I don't enjoy packaging, shipping, printing a packing label, the whole process of shipping. I'm like, man, sometimes I get like three or four projects done and I come into like my shipping office. I'm like, oh crap, I totally forgot to send that out. Like, I start panicking. But yeah,
Well,
I
I mean,
just don't
speaking
think
of
that
shipping,
there's
right?
that.
Like, how long did it take? I just sent you that beef jerky, right? My beef curtains. How long did that take, right? I sent you an order. It fucking got lost. We found out it got lost. And then I had to send you another order. And it was what, like 5 days late? Like,
Yeah.
it sucks because, like, I'm like you, right? Like, I want to be super punctual about shit. But, like,
Right.
some of that shit is out of our control, too, right? It's like,
Right.
And the fact is, like, what the fuck's happening in UPS or USPS? And you're like,
Right.
who's dicking around over there? And,
And they
like,
don't care.
ding-dongs, you know?
Yeah,
They
they
don't
don't
give a
care.
fuck.
You're
Yeah, they
just
don't
a number
understand.
there too. And it's
Oh, yeah.
crazy because it took that long to get it, and I think I ate the entire pack in like 4 hours. Just num 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 so fast. It was
Also
so
need some
good.
more.
But yeah, in the idea of wanting to get your stuff out and shipping internationally, man, getting the information from the client that's suitable to go through customs, and then not get it kicked back to you, and then getting contacted from customs almost 90% of the time, then having to reach out to the person to get the correct information of their,
Yeah.
man, it can be, and depending on what country you're sending it to, it can be such a nightmare and takes so long. And for some reason, getting stuff from Canada and sending stuff from Canada or sending stuff to Canada takes longer than sending it to
That's
the other
crazy.
side of the world. It's
It's
and it's
crazy,
so expensive, and I'm just like, what the heck? It's insane,
anything.
man. I can't stand it.
But hey, here's the deal, right? Like getting back to the mental state of things, wouldn't you rather have to deal with that than have to deal with working for some fucking asshole who doesn't give a shit, right? Like
100%, but
100%.
I'm also a person that likes to complain a little bit. So that
Yeah.
kills two birds with
Yeah.
one stone. So it gives me
No,
something to
absolutely.
complain about slightly.
Yeah. And isn't it funny that like the older you get, the like more pissed off you are about fucking everything? Like I just
Stupid stuff.
sometimes I just wake up on the wrong side of bed. I mean, every single day, I will say, like, come out to Texas, the drivers here are the fucking absolute worst. And like
Yeah.
when I'm driving around, like my kitchen is 5 minutes down the road, right? From my house. And so I'll get in the car and I'll be driving. And every single day I'm like, what the fuck is this asshole doing? Fucking
Yeah.
drive the fucking speed limit. Use a goddamn blinker. It's insane. But again, it's all about, I mean, just going through the rigmarole of trying to research everything on your own too, right? I mean, like not knowing what to do, especially in my industry, right? Like I have to have a manufacturing license. I have to go through basically acidified and low acidified canning process for school, right? Like I had to go back to school a year and a half ago to get a fucking certificate from the University of Tennessee's industrial agriculture, some shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, and they're like teaching me how to can fucking like if I was to go work for like Campbell's Soup or like Coca-Cola or some shit. And I'm like, I'm not gonna be using these goddamn machines, right?
It's crazy. It's crazy because when you first make those first few batches that you're dropping off on your friends' porches to say, we're going to get through this, like, kind of just a good omen to people to hook them up. You're not thinking at that time, like you think, oh, I can do it this way forever. I can handle it this way and then, get it to my friends, do small markets, do this, but that's not how it is. I mean, even for myself, I look back at when I was just making wallets and selling them, because it's for me, and this is, I think, some real advice for people that are listening to the podcast. The first year, the people that are going to buy your products are your friends and family that you know off of Facebook and Instagram and all of that kind of stuff. And during that time, then after the first year, no one you know buys your stuff. All of your friends are gone, and it's actual fans that you make through the way you do what you do. But that first year, I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to get like a business license and an LLC, do all of the taxes stuff. To be honest, I wish I waited would have waited a little bit longer because I just don't see how, like, I needed it really, to be honest. Like, it was more of a pride thing to be like, oh yeah, I got an LLC, and I'm like, oh dude, I gotta pay $800 a year just to have those three letters. And all of the things that come along with it, the taxes you have to pay, and how you gotta,
Oh,
keep track
God.
of it. And if you're only making enough money to pay for, so like, I'm not, third year in, I'm not really making any money. The majority of it goes to machinery and,
Oh, yeah.
products and all of that kind of stuff, which I'm so grateful because I have such a supportive, wife to be that really allows me. I wouldn't be able to do
Allows
this
you,
with
yeah,
my,
that's the key word, allows you to do what you want
yeah.
to do.
Well, she knows the difference between when I do what I want to do and when I do what I don't want to do. And I'm not trying to sound like a spoiled brat. I'm just saying,
No,
like,
exactly.
I'm a better person doing what I'm doing now. I find joy in my life. And which leads me to something I want to ask you is, do you find that you have more or less discipline as a business owner and a manager of yourself than you did prior to working for a manager?
I think that the way that I'm geared as an individual is I have a sense of urgency with everything that I do. And now I don't know if that's because, I grew up playing sports. I grew up, doing all that kind of shit. My dad was in sales, right? So like everything had that sense of urgency to try and close a sale or to try, and get the end result as quick as possible, right? And
Right.
so for me, I feel like the discipline that I have from doing all those different things, from playing sports, all the way from when I was young to high school to, into college, and then working in a sales environment for the bank, and then going into business development, right? I mean, everything was done with that sense of urgency, and I had to stay on top of myself in order to make things happen, right? So now I feel like I have somewhat taken a step back from that, and I've kind of just learned to enjoy it instead of getting stressed out about it, right? So I'm not as hard on myself to, or I'm not holding myself as accountable anymore, I guess you could say, right? I
Right.
think like I'm taking it easy, right? Like if I have a batch of sauce that I need to blend, like I know in 23 days I have a batch of sauce I need to blend right now. Well, guess what? If it goes to day 24, who fucking cares, right?
It's
Like,
yeah.
ooh, day 24, right? So it's like it's not that big a deal. And again, for me at this point in my life, having two kids, a 6 and a 4-year-old, right, going on 7 and 5, like I want to be able to, like I said, pick them up, drop them off at school every single day, right? I want to be able
Yeah.
to take them to the soccer practice, right? They're both starting to play soccer, right? I want to be able to do these things with them. And that to me is more important than being a micromanager on myself, right? I can let things slide easier from that point of view. And therefore, it's made me a happier person, relatively, right? I mean, there's still all the stresses of owning a small business. And
Sure.
when you're working typically outside in Texas in the fucking summer, like I said, today, I don't know if I told you it's 107 degrees outside, right?
Crazy.
Luckily, I had a pop-up at a brewery today that I do partnerships with on a regular basis. And so I got to hang out inside, get people, saucy and watch them get fucked up, right? So
Yeah.
that's fun. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, holding myself accountable. I'm not as stressed out about it anymore. I let things slide a little bit easier. Now, there are certain things that I know that things need to get done at certain times, like paying my taxes, right? Like,
Yeah.
there's been a couple times where I've been like, oh shit, I got to pay taxes. I got to pay this $1,800 for 3 months, and I don't really want to pay it now, right? And then I get a notification and in the mail like 3 weeks later, hey, we're going to revoke your sales and use tax, like certificate. And so I mean it's just those things. But as a small business owner, sometimes you don't always have the funds, like you just said, right? Like
Yeah.
it's like, oh, I need to spend X amount of dollars on a new bottle pouring machine, right? Or a new labeling machine, or I need to spend $1,000 on my labels, right? It's like I got to weigh those options and figure out which is best for me. Well, can I, this credit card payment can wait another couple, right? Yeah.
It's
So, I mean,
crazy. It's crazy because that's kind of the transition that I'm in right now where I'm hyper critical of myself. You probably know that in the conversations that we've had. Like
oh, yeah.
I always say, and it's not even a joke. Like I'm actually the hardest boss I've ever had. Like I'm so gnarly on myself because of my fear of failure. And I want to do this the rest of my life. And I know the only way that I can do that and be quote unquote successful as far as being able to remain doing this is working hard and working harder than anyone else. So I have no problem, 6 days a week waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to work, which thank God it's in my backyard. I have, a studio set up there. Then on Sundays, I sleep in till 6 and then get to work. But On the other end of that spectrum, if I have a friend, if you were to come out to visit, or there's somebody that's like, hey, I'm in town, or hey, you want to get lunch today? Like, I joke around and I'm like, hey, hold on one second. Let me talk to my boss. Okay, talk to him. He said I can go. You know, like I have that flexibility, or if there's something going on with the family, or if there's, you know, my wife needs me to do something, or I can do it. I just make up for it later. Like I still make sure I do that. Or lately, because of, I mean, Southern California is pretty hot as well, and I live in, you know, the Inland Empire, which is really hot as well. It's a desert, and my dog is a Belgian Malinois, and they need two full-time jobs to just be normal. So there's so much work that I need to do with her. So before, you know, when it was cooler, I'd wait until my lunch hour and take her for a walk. And now I just can't do that because it's not fair to her. It's either I take her for a walk while it's cool and I work when it's hotter, or I take her to walk when it's hotter and work with when, or yeah, work when it's cooler. And that's just, it's not fair to her, you know, like, so I will stop from 7 till like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and go for a hike with her every day, which calms her down, makes her more manageable. And then, you know, I do what I gotta do, and you know, you gotta kind of roll with the punches. And just recently, the last few months, I've really tried to. Well, here's a quick story. So I ended up having two hernia, or not two hernias. I had a hernia, then, you know, I had to go in for surgery. Then I ended up getting sick. And then something happened with my back, and then I went on vacation. So I was kind of like, work was being affected by it big time. And I reached out to my clients. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going into surgery. And then this happened. And every single one of my clients was so cool. They're like, hey, take care of yourself. It's all good. Like, it's, you know, they were totally understanding. I'm like, man, for these last 3 years, I've been putting so much pressure on myself, pressure that doesn't even exist. I'm a good dude. I work hard. I have integrity. Like, if something happens that's out of my control, beating myself up about it and adding additional stress when I'm trying to heal, that does no good. It causes rifts in my relationship. Like, it makes me have this like bad inner voice, which I'm constantly battling. So I've kind of just like, okay, well, I'll work it, you know, I'll make up for it in the time that I can, and not murder myself over this, and take a little bit more time on the projects that I'm doing, because the stuff I do is expensive. Like, it's
It's
expensive
time
for
consuming,
other people. Yeah, it's expensive for other people to buy, but for me, I'm still not making enough money off of it because of
I know, man.
the time that it takes to make it. So, but I don't shortcut when I normally would. And that in itself has helped out a lot on my mental health, is the like being kinder to myself. And that's something, I know you mentioned like the whole mental health thing earlier, which, you know, I love talking about. It's part of my story and even a part of my branding, is the mental health thing, and working through therapy with my therapist, which I see, you know, for the last 3 years, I've seen her every week until just recently. Now it's every 2 weeks. And that's one of the things that she's worked with me, is changing my inner voice from, you know, a negative inner voice to being like, you got this, you can do it. Like, everything's gonna be cool. Like, don't trip, it's all right. And kind of being like giving myself like words of affirmation, rather than putting myself down, thinking that putting myself down, I'm gonna work harder. That's not how it
It's
works.
almost like that. I, you hate to say it, but it's almost like that growing up aspect, right? It's like, oh, I don't want to let my parents down. I don't want to let this down. And like, once you let go of that, right? For me, it was like, I don't give a fuck, right? Anymore, I really don't give a shit about anyone's opinion anymore, which is crazy, right? And I know it sounds like I'm being a dick or whatever. And I can come off as a dick about 90% of the time to people, right? It's just one of those things. It's like, I don't care. I don't care about what you're thinking about me. It matters what I'm thinking about myself, right?
I
And
think that there's a lot of freedom in that, and that confidence is actually great for other people when you can be honest with them and be like, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it this weekend. Like, I've got this, and you're just straight about it rather than being like, "Oh yeah, I'll be there," and you appease them, and then you can't show up, or you're there, but you're not present. Or, I mean, not to cut you off, but to kind of just emphasize the point, like with the whole inner voice, what I've discovered is a lot of time when we're living in a negative headspace, the inner voice is our parent, the nagging parent being like, "You know, you could always do more, you can always do more." That's how it was for me, and I had to like audibly. The voice was my parents, and having to be able to change that inner monologue to my voice to be like, "No, you got this." Like, "Oh, dude, those pair of boots that you're working on are sick." Like that drawing that you got going for this pair of sandals, dude, that's gonna turn out rad. Rather than like an old like tattoo mentor being like, "Dude, that shit sucks, man. Like, redraw it, and like, no matter what, it's never good enough." Like, I'm good enough the way I am, and having that like I don't give a fuck attitude is not it can come off so arrogant, but I think it comes off confident, and it benefits everyone that's in your life because you're like no, I'm not gonna do that. Okay, well, next time, you know, like if people can't respect your boundaries, fuck them.
And I think, it's not, I don't try and come off as rude. I don't try and come off as mean. I like to think of myself as a very nice and genuine person, right? I probably seem like I have some sort of like, on the spectrum of Asperger's just because I am so blunt sometimes, right?
Right.
It's one of those things where it just, I don't know if it's from like years of doing drugs and like hallucinogens and like going through the rigmarole of self-discovery of being adopted and going through therapy, right? But
Yeah.
it's one of those things where it's just like, like life's too short to give a fuck, right?
Yeah.
Like no one's thinking about me. They're gonna be pissed. If someone's mad at me, they're gonna be mad at me for 2 seconds and then they're on to the next fucking thing, right? So it's like, what does it matter, right?
People
Like,
don't really think about you as much as you think they think
no,
about
we're
you. No
so
one,
self-absorbed. Everyone
right?
fucking loves me, Dennis.
Yeah, all they do is, I mean, they go to sleep thinking about Cole Moulton or Dennis Forster. Like,
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, no. So I mean, and that's the thing, right? And it's funny because like sometimes my wife and I'll be out. She's like, oh, she's very self-conscious about like what she's wearing or like
yeah.
something like that. I'm like, hey, no one gives a fuck. Like, no one cares. No one cares. And that's a whole nother story. My wife and I have completely different communication styles.
Oh yeah.
And it's not surprising, right? That we've been together for, over 8 years now. And it's crazy, but we make it work, right? It's just
Yeah.
something you gotta work on constantly. But
As long
again,
as it works for you, it doesn't have to work for everyone else. That's another thing I've
yeah,
realized with
it works for
my
me. I'm not sure if it
relationship.
works for her,
Oh, it does, or she would have left your ass.
Yeah, that's true. That's
It's
true.
you know, when you talk to your friends, or the way that you're kind of guided to think that what a relationship should like look like, or how people should speak in a relationship, or this or that. What I've realized being in a successful, like healthy relationship now for we just celebrated our 5-year
That's awesome.
anniversary of dating. We're getting married next year. Like things just and we've gone to like couples therapy, not because we need it, because we're going when things are good before we need it, like prep. And we've learned so much about each other. And we just spent the other week with ourself the entire week, just us two. And it's just so rad to continuously learn about someone, and not only learn about them, but change with them, mature with them, and be able to
Exactly.
communicate. And some people would look at a relationship and be like, "Well, that wouldn't work for me." Don't care if it would work for you. It's working for us, and we're happy. And that's how I think it's important to look at other people's relationships. And I mean, I'll give you an example. So, my dad and I spend money completely different. He has, you know, a crazy, crazy expensive, like massive RV. I think it's really dumb because he's spending, hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month for, the payment. And then every single time you take an RV out, it breaks. You got to get it fixed, the gas, the insurance, all of these things. And he takes it out once a year. And I'm like, dude, and the resale value on those things don't hold up. I'm like, I would go on vacation. Like I would fly to Europe, 3 times a year for the price of that, or
Oh, yeah.
go on cruises. Or like me and my wife love going on cruises because you pay once. You know this because we're talking in a bachelor party group chat about how much I love
Like you do,
cruises.
yeah.
Yeah, but it's easy. You pay for it. You show up at the dock. You get on it. You don't have to think for 7 days. Your food, your entertainment, whatever. That's the way that we would like to do it, but not everyone wants to do it. And I don't need to tell people how to live their life.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Like, I don't need
Absolutely.
to tell people how to spend their money. And yeah, it's crazy, man. Hey, Cole, real quick, I'm gonna take a quick break so that we could put a little mid podcast, a little break in here. When we get back, I have a few more things that I would like to talk to you about, sir.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Is that cool?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, brother, 1 second.
All right.
All right, a quick word from our sponsor. Drum roll, please. Yep, you guessed it. We have no sponsor for this episode. So we might as well sponsor the episode for ourselves. If you're listening to this, go ahead and go over to Instagram and check out 21 grams underscore leather goods. Back to your unpaid regular scheduled programming. All right, guys, welcome back to 21 Graham Speaks. We have my good friend all the way from junior high. We went to Dwyer Middle School in
Yes.
Huntington Beach, California. Then we ended up, or I ended up going to Huntington Beach High School, and you went to Marina, right?
Edison.
Edison.
Yeah, I went to Edison. Even though I live by Marina, right? Yeah, I
Yeah.
still went to Edison, and it's
For
because,
sports?
yeah, well, yeah, kind of. My brother and my older brother went there, right? So, and he went there because my dad taught at Edison back in the 70s. So like early 70s, my dad was a teacher there. He still knew like the athletic director, the football coaches, all this shit, some
Right.
teachers there. And so we ended up going there, which is funny because it's like everyone, when I went to high school, they're like, oh my God, you live so far away. Dude, it's like 8 fucking minutes, right? Like
Yeah.
you're in fucking like Newland, right? So yeah, so it was funny. But yeah, I ended up going there. That's cool, I guess. I mean,
Yeah.
fuck. The cool thing is Huntington Beach, I mean, you got what, six high schools in Huntington. Everyone knows everyone anyways. Like,
Yeah.
right. And I kind
Well,
of worked in
you already
Edison.
knew so many people from Huntington High that going to Edison, it kind of doubled your friend group.
Well,
So,
yeah, and plus like my elementary school, I went to elementary school up by the Marina area. So
okay.
like I knew everyone that went to Marina, I knew everyone that went to Huntington because of Dwyer, and then I knew everyone that went to Edison because I fucking went to Edison. So
Because you went to
yeah.
Edison.
Yeah.
Before the break, you had mentioned a couple times about being adopted, and if you
Yeah.
don't mind, I'd like to kind of tap into that because I didn't even, to be honest, I didn't even know that. And it gets kind of brought up obviously in your story because it's a huge part of your story. I guess I think about it often because me and my wife are getting older. We want to start a
Sure.
family. It's not easy when you hit 40. I would love to adopt. She wants to go ahead and try as hard as we can
Yeah,
to
no.
have our own our a natural child. I don't know
Yeah.
what you say, our child. But I have absolutely, I would love to adopt big time. I've always thought that I would adopt, and I always wanted to.
Don't
How
do it,
was
man.
that?
I was
What's
fucked
that?
up. I'm fucked
Yeah.
up, man. Don't do it. No, I'm just
Yeah.
kidding.
How, I mean, what for me, I would think that if we were to adopt, this is the way I would approach it, and maybe it's the wrong way. You would know what would be the best way, but I would think that as soon as the child can comprehend, just being super honest, explaining that they are adopted, and explain that we pick them, we handpick them, they are our choice, even more so than having a kid because we made the effort to adopt them. And just being open and honest with them and not treating them any different. No one in the family treating, grandpa, grandma, just treating them. Obviously, you wouldn't go into it thinking you're going to treat them any different, unless some people adopt for the horrible, horrible reasons, which is so bad. But
Yeah.
what would be, I mean, what's the approach with that? And what was your experience with being adopted, the hang-ups and the good
Yeah.
and the bad?
I've always known that I was adopted, right? Like ever since I was a little fucking kid. As long as I can remember. I mean, we have like at my parents' house when I was growing up, there was books about being adopted, and like a kid's book about it, right? And so like it wasn't any big secret. My older brother is adopted as well, right? It's yeah, I mean I think that knowing the whole time that I was adopted, right, and I was put with a family that chose to take care of me when they didn't necessarily have to, has been one of those things that's like, yes, that's awesome, right? Now back in my mental health aspect in my psyche, I'm like, well, now I gotta fucking do everything for them, right? Like, I have to be the best I can be at this and that and fucking everything, right? But that's not necessarily the case, right? I mean, they wanted a child, they couldn't conceive a child. I was lucky enough to be adopted by this loving family that wanted to take care of me, and raise me as their own son, right? And so, yeah. For my parents through and through, right? They bought a house out here in Texas now because we have our kids, obviously, right? They were tired of driving once a month to come out here and fucking
Oh my
visit for a
God.
week at a time, right? And so yeah, they finally like bought a house down the road about 20 minutes away from here. It's great. I mean, they're my parents, they're the people that have raised me my whole entire life. I've
You don't
known
think any
their
differently than
I
a
don't think any
person.
differently at all, right? I mean, it's just that's the fact of the matter. Now, when it comes to the mental health aspect, I mean, when I was a teenager, there was that whole like, well, who the fuck am I, right? Like, do a project in elementary school, your family tree. Well, like, my family tree is my family tree, right? But fact of the matter is, like, there's no blood relation to any of these people, right? Other than the fact that these people fucking raised me, right? That's how we're blood. And I mean, it's like kind of that whole situation where you can like, you choose who your family is, right? Well, these people choose to be a part of their family, which is fucking rad. But there is that whole aspect from a child's developing child's mental health of being like, who the fuck am I, right? Like, what am I gonna end up being like? Am I gonna look like them? Am I gonna sound like them? And it. For me, at a certain point in my life, and going through therapy and talking to someone about all this when I was 16, 17, 18, 20 years old, right? It's kind of that whole it's nature and nurture, right? Like there's some aspects of my life, like being an alcoholic, right? Doing a ton of drugs and loving drugs, right? Like all that stuff is a part of my nature and not the nurture aspect of my life, right? All the genetics that go into it, right? But a lot of my habits, like I said, my dad was he was a national sales director for US Auto Glass, Safelite, all those. So he used to travel a lot. I used to, when he was working locally in Southern California, we'd go and visit the insurance agencies. And basically, his job was just to be like, hey, just want to see if you guys need anything type deal, right? Or like if he was prospecting someone, just be like, hey, what can we do to earn your business type deal, right? And so, that whole work ethic was just a part of. Being raised and who I was raised by and how I was raised, right?
Well, sales, I mean, the thing that you learned from your dad, like sales isn't a job, it's a personality type. That's the way
Oh,
I look at it. Like
totally.
I've been in sales. I mean, being a tattoo artist, that's the
Sell
hardest
yourself.
sales job.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to convince somebody that you're going to put artwork on their body for the rest of their life. Like that's a hard sale sometimes. So
Yeah.
you're the, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just, I
No.
don't know, that's just a fact. Like I never stopped being a sales guy. When I
Yeah.
try to negotiate everything, whether it's getting something done at the house or trying to barter in Mexico, everything is sales.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think about a lot of that too, is just like having the confidence to talk to someone, right? And not being afraid to like have a conversation with someone. And it's crazy. Like nowadays you see these kids, like I'll have people come up to me like working a market or working a festival or something, and like these kids come up to me and they can like hardly hold a fucking conversation, right? And it's like I like pray to God that my kids won't get like in life, right? But it's a different age, right? It's a different, you know,
They're
it's every
differently socialized. They're socialized on the internet rather than in person.
oh totally, right? And but yeah, I mean, getting back to it, like knowing that I was adopted my whole entire life was I'm not gonna say it was a benefit, right? Like if I would have found out when I was like 17 years old that I was adopted, I would have been like, fuck this is fucking insane, right? That's just absolutely crazy to me. But you know, my parents were always up front and honest about it, and they always told me like, hey, if you ever want to try and find your biological parents, we're going to support you 100%. And I think the main thing for me too with that whole conversation was I didn't want my parents to think I wanted to find my biological parents to hurt their feelings in any way, shape, or form, right? And so it took me a lot longer to go through that process. But in all honesty, the fact that there's technology nowadays, like 23andMe and fucking history, right? Like I found my biological half sister on 23andMe. We matched. It said you're 50% match with this person. I sent her a message and I said, hey, you and I are 50% ma match. We're related this way. Like it says you're like my half sibling. And she's like, yeah, like this, that, and the other thing. And the crazy thing is, like, I moved to Texas for work, right? I moved from Southern California to Colorado, like I had mentioned. I was working for the Bank of Colorado. I love Colorado. It got too fucking cold for me and too snowy. I was in the middle of nowhere. I had to drive like 2 hours to go shopping at like fucking Trader Joe's, right?
Oh
Like,
God.
yeah. And I mean, being from Southern California, Trader Joe's is everything, right? So
I guess if you're a hipster like you, not me,
yeah.
I
Hey,
go to
this is old
Stater
school Trader
Brothers.
Joe's. Yeah. But you know, I was having those luxuries that I missed, right? And so I moved to Austin, and then when I met my wife and we had our kid, we decided to move back up to Dallas. Well, I mean, here's the deal. I was born in Fort Worth. I've always known I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, right? My mom's cousin, when I say my mom, I don't mean my biological, I mean my mom, the lady who raised me. Her cousin is the one who finalized my adoption. He's a huge attorney out in Fort Worth, right? Was back in the day. He's super crazy now and awesome, but still. So I'd always known that, right? Well, my biological sister, mother, my whole biological side of the family still lives out in Fort Worth. So when we so I got the chance to meet my biological mother, my sister, my aunts, uncles, cousins, all these people that are biological to me, I got a chance to meet them when my oldest son was, you know, about 1.5, 2 years old, right?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So it's a cool experience. And actually, I was just getting a text from my biological sister, half sister, you know, a few minutes being like, hey, the kids are going back to school. What are you guys doing? Let's come over and have a swim. You know what I mean? So it's like crazy. You know, you have a relationship, and finding out the story, my backstory, and my biological mother, why she gave me up for adoption. She was previously married to my half sister's, you know, dad. There was another brother that I had who had some physical and mental basically disability. He ended up passing away, but they had gotten a divorce. She had gotten with this guy who was my biological father. He was a piece of shit, drunk, drug addict, get shit out of her. And finally, when she was like at the late stages of her pregnancy, like I guess 9, 8 months, because I was born a month early. Essentially, he beat the shit out of her, and she went into basically went into labor.
Wow, that's
My
crazy.
parents had gotten a phone call from my mom's cousin here in Texas. The lawyer was like, "Hey, I have this lady who's going to put this kid up for adoption. Can you guys get out here?" He had known my parents were looking for a kid, obviously. Can you guys? My dad flew out. My mom ended up, or my mom flew out. My dad ended up driving out, and I was a ward of the state of Texas for 6 days, and after 6 days, I was adopted, and I took a RV back to Southern California, man.
That's
Where I grew
crazy.
up. Yeah. So it's an insane story. You know, I got to meet and hear the whole backstory of my biological parents, why I was put up for adoption. You know,
Did it
I.
give you some kind of closure? Did you feel like, okay, this, I mean, I'm sure that there was times that you had maybe in your heart a little bit of resentment or questions or, a misunderstanding of what may or, I mean, there's so many questions, I'm
Yeah,
sure.
there's a ton of questions. I mean, it's the whole like, I suffer still to this day from like abandonment issues, right? And it's
Yeah.
like, yeah, I was given up for adoption for a really good reason, right? Like
Right.
it's, and I always told my parents, I said, hey, I want to meet my birth mom so that I can thank her for giving me up for adoption instead of being
Right.
like, what the fuck did you give me up for adoption type deal, right? And so it was one of those things where I finally got the opportunity to say thank you right before she passed
Yeah.
away.
Oh, she passed away.
She passed away about 3 years ago, but
Sorry.
luckily after meeting my oldest son, meeting my youngest son Vincent, after meeting both kids and being there for that, right, and me getting to know her, she was fucking loud and country, and we were way, it's crazy because we were so similar,
Right.
and we didn't have any interaction with each other, right? Like
It's
she,
weird, yeah. But I mean, it makes sense, but
yeah,
it's the nature and less the nurture in that situation. So you got to see the nature side of your family, where your adopted family is your nurture side of like who you are, your
absolutely,
personality.
absolutely. And so,
That's
yeah,
wild.
there's absolutely, yeah, it's super wild. But yeah, it did give me a bit of closure, right? Like it's one
Yeah.
of the things where I'm a little bit more at peace knowing that, right? I mean, I'll probably always suffer from the little bit of like, who am I still, right? Because I don't
Sure.
know anything about the biological father side of things.
Sure.
I just know he was a piece of shit, right?
Yeah.
And was just like not there at all. So and every so often, like I'll get matched with someone on my 23andMe or Ancestry or something, and they're like, "Oh, here's your first cousin," right? And it's crazy. Like I know a little bit about his backstory. Like my biological father's dad was adopted. He was a piece of shit. Like beat all the kids, alcoholic.
Crazy.
All those kids got split up, right? And like so, like that whole side of the family has like a bunch of different last names. Like I'll get matched with people with all these different last names, that are like first cousins, second cousins, right? And it's like, oh, crazy. Yeah. So it's insane, man.
A similar situation happened to me. I mean, there's no two stories that are the same, but
Yeah.
and I mean, I only say really loosely something similar. So a few years ago, my family, my dad, my sister, and I found out that he had had a daughter 21, 20, 20 year, 21 years ago. And I have a half sister. He was with this woman. It was a short-term relationship. It wasn't a good relationship. It was
Yeah.
a long time ago. It was before he met my stepmom, who I absolutely adore, my stepmom. But that's neither here nor there. That's just in case she ever listens to this podcast. I love you. I really do. She's so awesome. But so a few years ago, my little sister reached out to my big sister. The little sister is the one that we didn't know about. And they started talking. And then she got in contact with my dad. And then she got in contact, they got in contact with me. And it was this like big deal, even though my older sister and my dad kind of had a feeling. I really didn't know what was going on, but it was a
Yeah.
trip because my sister's oldest son, my nephew, went to school with my little sister. They were the same age, they were in the same classes. My
Yeah.
sister knew her aunt who would take her to school. They were babysat at the same, like, not even day, they lived up in Lake Arrowhead. So it was like a house daycare type
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And so they totally knew, and my sister always suspected for some reason that this was her little sister. And then years later, we got in contact, and now we went from, just to me and my older sister that were raised together, went through some heavy, heavy stuff, family stuff,
Yeah.
harder than the average, I would say. But we have this like bonding experience of our entire life, and we know how to communicate with each other for good or bad. It's just you know how you have an older brother, so you know how that is. And then we have a little sister that's thrown in the mix, and I don't say that in a negative. It's just it's a different dynamic. So when we send out, before we go on vacation or we're going in the hospital, we have a family group text, hey, this is the deal, blah, blah, blah. And then it's, in my phone, it says little sister and big sister. That's, whatever. And it's just crazy how to develop an entire relationship with somebody that's 21 years old, who's your little sister, that you want to go back and protect all of the, her mom was a pile of shit. And I could say that because she says that, and she's also her mom's dad. And so, to hear later in life how crazy of a life she had and how much guilt I held to not be there to protect her from all of this stuff and the mishaps with men and the reason why she has the issues that she does. I mean, we all have issues. They all stem from somewhere, the trauma that we deal in life. And, I love her. I love her to death. I'd do anything for her. It's hard because we don't have the, it's hard to go from not knowing someone even exists to being a big brother in the way that you want to be a big brother, even at our age, where it's like, hey, you're fucking up here, man. Like you're doing this, like this isn't right. Or, hey, I'm proud of you. Like it just, because the thing is, I don't know if like I'm going to say something to her and she's going to be like, well, you weren't in my life for all this time, like whatever. Or like, I don't like getting this pushback. I've never gotten pushback from anyone that loved me and care about me. I'm just going to go ahead and not have you in my life. So I always feel like I'm walking on eggshells because I want to have a good relationship with her, but a good relationship is based in a foundation of truth and honesty. And it's like, it's something that I battle with a lot. And like I said, I totally love her to death. And it's, man, it's tricky, and it's like I said, it's obviously not the same scenario, but people have, it's weird how life works out that way. I'm so grateful that she's in our life now, and now I have, two more nephews and a niece, and her oldest daughter, my niece, or her oldest child, which is her daughter, and my niece, went through leukemia for the last like 2 years. And that's like, it's not like I needed to have my little sister all of those years to feel the way you feel when your niece has leukemia. That's like an instant thing. And it's just, man, it's crazy. It's like every few years your life is completely different and that never stops.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you told me, 3, 4 years ago that I was going to be owning a hot sauce business, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy, right? Or like, even with you, oh, you're, hey, Dennis, you're not going to be tattooing anymore. You're fucking making leather goods. Like,
Right. It's
it's absolutely
wild.
insane. No, and yeah, it's crazy because, like, yeah, the blink of an eye, like, you find out that you have a fucking half sibling, right? Like, and that's literally what it was for me too. Like, I knew I kind of had that. Like, my mom and dad had told me, like, hey, this is the story that we've kind of heard, that you have some siblings out there and that you were put up for adoption because of this reason type deal, right? But I
Right.
didn't know details. I never knew if I was going to connect with anyone. And sure enough, you get that message, you get that notification, and your life changes in an instant. That's
Yeah.
literally what happens, right? And
That's
yeah,
wild.
it's very wild, right? Because yeah, you do, like, even then, like, you have, like, you feel like you have an obligation, right, to be that, like you're saying, like, to be that big brother, right? But
Right.
do you have that obligation because you feel like that, or because you want to have that? Do you feel like you have the rights to have that obligation, right? And
Yeah.
it's all that shit, right?
It's
And
all
then that's it.
questions. There's no answers. It's and
No,
it
there's no
changes
answer at all.
multiple times.
No, you can just be a fucking good human being, right? And like,
Right.
that's really what it comes down to, right? Like, yeah,
Right.
my sister texting me and being like, hey, do you guys want to come over and swim before the kids go back to school? Yeah, we'll try. I mean, live out in Fort Worth, it's a drive, but let's
Right.
make it
But
happen,
that,
right?
I mean,
Like,
that wouldn't be any different if she was your full sister or if you grew up with her. Like, if you can make it, you can make it. If you can't,
oh, yeah, no,
you can.
exactly.
It's not like you feel
Exactly.
an extra obligation. One question that always pops into my mind, if like, I don't know why I think like sometimes like what I would do if I was adopted, probably because my whole life I thought that I would adopt a child, but
Yeah.
Was there ever times that you were growing up that you would walk by someone and you're like, oh, I wonder if that's my mom or dad, or you're in an airport, even if you know your mom's from Texas and the odds of her being in Huntington Beach are probably not that good. Like if you're in an airport and you're like, I would just think all of the time, like even driving in a car, like, did I just pass my mom? Like, did I just pass my sister? Did I just like my, that's also because I'm a fucking weirdo, right? Like,
Yeah,
I
I
think
mean,
weird stuff like that all the time anyways.
I don't think it's necessarily, it wasn't that. I mean, I think you have this ideation, this fantasy lifestyle, right? That is always in the back of your head. Like I said, like, who am I? Where do I come from? You know, what am I gonna end up like, right? Like, that's
Right.
all there. So you create these fantasies in your head. One thing that was always really big with me is like creating like fake names, right? Like, as an adult, like, what's my real name, right? Like, oh, would I be a Chad or would I be like a Brian, you know? Or it's like some
You'd be
stupid
a Chad
like
for
that.
sure.
Oh, fuck yeah, bro. Totally
Yeah.
Chad, crush it. No, but seriously, like, you know, it's like one of those situations where that's kind of what that was really like the main thing, right? Just like, oh, I wonder what my name really would have been, right? And yeah, it's crazy. And like finding out like my biological mother's last name was Self, SELF, which is really weird,
Oh,
right? Because like I've
yeah.
always had a weird sense of self, and then to find out
Yeah.
your biological last name is
Yeah.
Self, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, just like weird things like that. It wasn't any like, oh, is that my mom? Is that my dad? You know? The other weird thing was like, oh, what if I like hooked up with someone and
Oh,
like,
God.
oh
And
shit,
you
what if I
did a
like
lot
found
of
out you're like
promiscuous things. You did a,
biologically related,
yeah.
right? That was always like a weird one, right? Because
And you
you
were a dirty dog for a really long time, so
oh, I definitely was. I definitely
the
was. Man, you can say that loud. My wife already knows. I know.
odds are. I'm just kidding.
My dad has filled in my wife on a lot of
Right.
you know, but yeah, that was always kind of like the weird things that you think about as an adoptee, right?
Right.
No, and that's from my perspective, right? Like, everyone's different. Like, my brother, who was adopted, he's 3 years older, and he's never had that inkling to like try and find out who he is or anything
No.
like that, right? And yeah, I don't think he really has. And I mean, if he has had that, he's never vocalized it or verbalized it at all. And it's crazy because he was with his biological mother, who was apparently like 16 or 17, for like a whole year before he was adopted by my parents, right?
Oh,
And so
wow.
you would think that, like, you know, but again, everyone has their own situation going on with it, right? And
Yeah,
so,
everyone's an individual.
no, absolutely. And you know, again, like, it's like the nature versus the nurture. Like, how much does that play into it too, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Forever.
Your situation reminds me of the way that I've always kind of like I had a pretty rough childhood. Like I have plenty of episodes to get into it and where I feel comfortable, but there was a lot of times that I remember being a child thinking like praying like God, I hope I go to sleep and I wake up in a different family, in a different house, in a different
Yeah.
scenario, and like my life is a completely different life. I'm born into a different family that lives in a house because sometimes there wasn't that. All of these different things, and I still think about that now as an adult. Like life is just picking a lottery ticket. Like I could have been
Oh, totally.
born, like, and it makes me think of religion a lot that way because, you know, what happens if I was born in India? Then I would probably be Hindu. If I was born in the Middle East, I'd probably be Muslim. Like growing up in you know being born to the family that I'm born to in the you know in poverty and all of the things that I was, what would my life would have been if I was born somewhere else, and like what would my faith be or my understanding or the people that I met in my life? So I think it, like I probably less now because my life I feel really grounded and I feel really happy for an extended period of time. But even just not many years ago, when I was like suicidal and I was going through, you know, mental hospitals and all of this stuff, there was nothing that I wanted more was to just be somebody else, to have a different brain chemistry. And like, I was mad at God, I was mad at my parents, I was mad at everything until I stopped being mad at everyone and I just started taking responsibility for myself. I'm like, this is the lottery ticket that I got. I'm gonna make the best of it. And now, but it, I mean, it makes me question still my like my faith and what I believe in, because it's, I feel like it's every religion thinks that they're the only true religion, but
Oh, absolutely.
how fair is that of a God that, you know, if it's the Christian God, if it's the Hindu God, like why would he allow or she allow or it allow a huge portion of the entire world's population to win the lottery and be born into a different faith where they don't have exposure to whatever faith that God is? Like that's how weird my brain gets. And I just think of it, I mean, because I mean we could have all, I could have been born into your body. I mean, we're souls living in meat suits. Like that's
Yeah,
all
we're
it
meat
is.
suits, man. We're just meat suits walking around until we're no longer meat suits, man. And then we just become right back into the fucking earth. So, yeah, I mean, when it comes down to faith and religion and stuff like that, I mean, for me, I see the benefits that it does help certain people, right? Like, especially going through AA, right? For as long as I went through AA, it's all about, hey, God as you understand him, God as you see him, right? And for me, one of the best things that my sponsor told me, it was like, God can be whatever fuck you want God, right? Like, God doesn't have to be God, the Christian God. It doesn't have to be, this, that, or that. You can be a fucking bumblebee flying across the fucking, street or some shit. It doesn't matter, right? As long as you realize that, like, there's something, a power greater than you that is in control of yourself. Like, you are powerless over alcohol, right? It's really what it was for me, right? It's just making that realization. And yeah, there is something designed me the way that I am that I can't drink, right? And
Oh God,
that's
yeah,
it,
I'm there with you.
Yeah. I
It's
mean, because if I have a
crazy,
drink, I won't
man.
stop, right? And that's, it's just that's the way it goes. That's those are the cards I was dealt, right? And like going back to being dealt cards, that's my card, right? And so, what can you do, right?
I had an experience like that just recently. I was, like I've mentioned already, like 17 times in this podcast, and I mentioned a lot. Like we were just on a cruise, and there was like the seminar thing, like that are like new to this cruise line, go find out what it's all about. And my wife was eating, and we kind of the one time in the whole thing we had split apart, and there's this like, you know, there's waiters and waitresses with like, you know, what's it called? Like trays of mimosas, and they come up and they're like, "Hey, you want a mimosa?" And the first time I'm like, "No, absolutely not." Like it didn't even like it didn't shudder my head. And then not 15 seconds later, another person comes by. "You want a mimosa?" I'm like, no, I'm okay. I don't drink." Swear, the first guy comes right back to me and he's like, "Would you like a mimosa?" And I'm like, no. And I was like, but man, I could have had three mimosas right now. My wife's getting food. Like, no one would have known. Like, I would have been cool. Like, I wouldn't have. And then I'm like, without even like consciously thinking, I just immediately stood up and walked out of the room. And I'm like, it was like one of those times where you feel like you can see your life flash between your eyes. Because if I would have had that first one, I wouldn't have stopped. And my whole, like, it doesn't go from like, okay, well, I'm gonna have this, and then three years later, I can like progress back into drinking responsibly. There's nothing responsible. Like my life would be over with one sip of, not one sip, but like
I
one
know what you mean.
mimosa. Like I would just be like, okay, then I'm like fiending once I get that buzz, and then I'm anxious to get another drink and another drink. It causes anxiety in me, and I feel like the only way to heal that, or like to quench that anxiety, is to keep drinking, which gives me more anxiety. And like it's
Then you feel
insane.
guilt, and then you feel everything else along with it. Oh, no, I mean, and that's the thing, right? It's like, I am 100% aware that I cannot drink, right? And I'm like, still to this day, like, I'll have friends that they'll be drinking, and maybe they have a few too many drinks. They'll be like, "Oh, you want to drink?" I'm like, "No, man, I don't drink. Like, don't be fucking stupid, right?" Like, yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those things. I completely get it because, yeah, you do. It's such a social thing, drinking, right? I mean, even at like my events, like today, I did a pop up at a brewery, right? The majority of people that work there, they know me, right? But they still offer me like, "Hey, can I get you a beer?" "Oh no. Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot. You don't drink, you know?"
Right.
Like one of those situations. It's constantly reminding people that you don't drink. I think the cool thing is now, like, sobriety has come into the forefront of the conversation as a society, right? That it's
Right.
not as taboo to be like, "I don't drink," right? Like, "I
Right.
can't drink. I'm an alcoholic," right? It's not like
Yeah.
"Ooh, oh, you're an alcoholic? Ooh, gross." You know, it's like, "Oh, okay, good for you, man." Like, yeah, you know, it's like
Even
one of
the people that are so into partying are like, oh, okay. And it's, I don't know, man. It's so crazy because I think like we watch Intervention a lot, and I have friends that reach out to me, especially because I'm so open and vocal about this through podcasts, through like I think as a business, it's important to share a few key things to make yourself relatable to the mass of people.
Oh,
And
absolutely, man.
sobriety and mental health are the things that I'm very, very like vocal about. And so when I'm presented with one of those situations where it's like, oh, I could get away with this. My wife wouldn't know. The people that I talk to on here wouldn't know. But the thing is, and this is how I know it's real, I'm gonna know. And that's when people talk to me about this situation and they're like, I can tell that it's gonna click when they say, oh, I need to do this for me. Or like I tell my wife that all the time. I'm like, you could be gone tomorrow, but this can't be gone tomorrow. Like my sobriety can't be gone tomorrow because I only get this one shot because I would fuck up my life overnight with this because it's there's no breaks on it. And I feel so fortunate that I was able to figure this out when I did, and I didn't die from this because
Did you go into the
I could
program at
have.
all?
No, not
Oh,
dude,
you
it's
didn't? Good for
so
you, man.
crazy. During COVID, I'd got, we're all at home and I started drinking a lot like most people, but I had access to someone that was able to get like pills and I just started doing a bunch of Xanax
Oh, man.
and I mean it went from, I don't know how much I've shared with this, and not that I do want to share it, but like I went from like taking a half a Xanax a day, like splitting just to because I wanted to. It feels great. Like
No, it really does, dude.
it
Trust me,
feels awesome.
it feels fucking rad, right? For
Yeah,
real.
within 2, 3 weeks, maybe a month, I was chopping and snorting 4 street Xanax, so fentanyl mostly, a day. Like spiraled, blacked out for a whole week, don't remember what happened. Like my roommate, I just remember one night my roommate was like, dude, you're fucked up. Like you're bouncing off the walls, and like it was bad. And I woke up the following morning. I'm like, okay, yesterday was the last time I put any alcohol or drugs in my body. I immediately that morning, as I panic attacks don't usually last more than maybe 15 minutes or so. It wasn't anxiety, it was a full panic attack. And I was living in Eastville, which is like Riverside-ish area, to Huntington Beach, to my mom's house. My mom lives in a super tiny like apartment in Huntington Beach that's like paper thin walls. Like it's bad, and it's just in a bad neighborhood, which a lot of people don't realize there are bad neighborhoods in Huntington, and there's a lot of
Yorktown.
drugs there. Yorktown. Yeah.
Yorktown and what?
Yeah. What's that?
Yorktown and what? I probably know. I
Your
mean,
Yorktown in England, right?
oh yeah,
By
no, that's like, trust
yeah, it's
me.
the cut.
Yeah.
It's the
I used
cut
to
for
do
sure.
drugs around there, man. Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. Right here.
So I went there and I thought I was just going to like nurse a hangover for a day and spend the night. And you
Yeah.
want to be with your mom, even though my mom's got her own drug issues. Like I just figured like, I'll hang out for a day. That day I didn't it wasn't a day. It was 6 days straight. I didn't sleep. I started hallucinating from a lack of sleep and I couldn't eat. I was just pounding Pedialyte. I couldn't hold anything down and started like my body started like seizing up a little bit. And I remember telling my mom after the 6 day where I was like not sleeping, full blown audio hallucinations. Like it got to the point where I could hear everybody in this like quadplex in the back when their alarms went off on their phones to wake them up for work. Like I could predict when the next thing in this 6-day routine would
Was gonna happen.
happen. And I just told her, I'm like, I remember I was just like, you got to take me to the hospital. And she's like, well, try to wait like a few, a little, maybe another hour or
I
so.
know.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, either you're going to take me or I'm going to call an Uber. Or I'm going to walk there. And she's like, okay. She took me and they just gave me, I forgot what they gave me, but they also gave me like some alcohol pills basically to
Yeah.
get like so that
Shake
you
me
don't.
down here. Make sure you didn't have a seizure. Make sure all that. Yeah, no, absolutely.
That and whatever that heavy duty sleeping pill is, I forget what it was, but it was the sleeping pill that like celebrities take and then they get on Twitter and say a bunch of racist
But like
shit.
Ambien and fucking
Ambien. So then I ended up those 6 days, and I remember going to the hospital telling them, like, don't give me any kind of narcotic. I'm not gonna take it because I'm sober now. I got 6 days clean. And they're like, dude, you're gonna fucking die, man. Like your body is not gonna make it through if we don't do something to calm you down because everything was like overstimulating, just the like beeping sound in the like whatever. So I could go on and on about this, but that was whatever, a long time ago. What was it? June 14th of 20, I don't know, 3 years ago, this last June 14th. But and since then, it's there's good days and there's bad days and there's but the thing that doesn't change is that I can't go back to that. I can't, I mean there everything is new too. Like the first time we went to a wedding, I had to do that for the first time in my adult life sober, like flying on an airplane, like
Yeah,
doing
dude,
that for the
airplanes are
first time.
triggering. I mean, think about all this shit that's triggering, right? Like, you don't really think about it until you're in that situation and you're like, man, like, this is, I would normally be getting fucked up right now,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, like an airport or going to a friend's for fucking dinner, right? And like having wine or like just like the most mundane shit, right? Like you don't realize that that's like the stuff that you're going through life fucked up doing, right?
Every aspect, every single aspect is when you're an addict like that. I'm still an addict about everything. The way I drink water, I don't drink water like a normal person. I'm gonna pound the whole thing super fast. Everything that I do, I'm an extremist. The way that I view life is an extremist. When it comes to work, I'm an alcoholic, but work. Like I work from, 16-hour days, and I wish that there was just, 12 more hours in it every single day. Like every aspect, the way I train my dog is like militant. Like every single thing that I do is hyper focused. It's just a matter like that part of me isn't going to change. The part that can change is where I direct that
Energy, yeah.
ism, that alcoholism, the drug use. And yeah, man, I mean it's the same thing even with caffeine. Like I can't get enough caffeine, nicotine, like all of the things, but I'm not losing relationships. I'm not like, selling my body on the streets for a cup of coffee. So
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, there's definitely worse things we can be addicted to. I mean, my thing is coffee, obviously, like the stronger the fucking better. I can have a cup of coffee at 10:30 at night and pass out half an hour later, right? Cigarettes for me, obviously. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, it's replacement therapy, right? We're coming up with different things to talk about at that time. I have a friend who was a junkie, right? Just shooting up all the time, and he started running. And now he like those fucking ultra marathons, like 100 plus things, right? And like,
That's crazy.
yeah, it's absolutely insane. And he knows, right? Just like you and I know, like, we're just replacing that with something that is not gonna fucking kill us. Now, running 100 miles would fucking kill me because I'm fucking out of shape and badly overweight, but that's just the way it goes, man. It's yeah, so it's crazy. I mean, so many things in life come down to the fact that, like, once you start figuring shit out and you prioritize your life and realize what matters to you and what makes sense to you or the things that you're going to focus your energy on, you just feel so much better about everything that you do, right? And it's, for me, I had a son that was going to be born. I just knew I couldn't drink anymore because if I did, I wasn't going to stop, right? And that's not the kind of where I wanted to be, right?
Right.
Want to be that fucking dad that came home, got drunk, got upset with his wife and kids for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'm loud, I'm passionate, I probably overreact to things in certain ways in certain times, right? But I'm not drunk when I do it, right? I'm being an asshole and saying hurtful things for no fucking reason, right? And yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting for that moment when my kids go to school, because my kids know I'm an alcoholic. I tell them, right? I'm
It's
still
good to
waiting for
be
that moment.
honest.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that
I tell
moment when they
anyone
go
that
to
will
school.
listen.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to like be in the middle of class and be like, "My daddy's an alcoholic," and then like get a call from the fucking teacher or something, being like,
Right.
"Are you okay at home?"
I think that's one of the things that has helped me so much is being honest with one, the closest people in my life, but just being honest. I'll get quick example. So again, referring, I mean, it just happened, right? But we were just on this cruise, and me and my wife were just hanging out, and we started talking to this older couple, and it just got brought up. You're there, like, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I own a luxury leather goods company. Oh, and then conversation escalates, and I mentioned that I'm sober, and kind of sharing my story a little bit. The following night, me and my wife were like, at the end of every night, we would just find like a quiet place to kind of like recap the
Hang out.
day and hang out, like just talk about stuff like you do. And they came up and they're like, hey, do you mind if like we talk to you? And they're the sweetest people. We're like, pull up a seat. Are you kidding me? This is awesome. And then they opened up and explained, that they have a daughter that they love, and that she's struggling with some stuff. And they kind of explained the situation. And I think, with all due respect to them, they were just very naive about how bad it was. And they
Oh, yeah.
started explaining some of the things that, she had gotten caught stealing from one of the neighbor's house, and this and all of the things. But they've never dealt with addiction or drug use. They don't drink. Like they didn't understand. And so I was able to approach it from the standpoint of their daughter, where my wife was able to stand, like, approach it from their standpoint of how to deal with somebody that is an addict. And I don't think, because I absolutely know that we were able to have a really positive input and effect on their life, and they will be successful. It's going to be hard. And we explained all of the like steps, like, hey, it's not your fault. You're not to blame. This is not something, and where to set boundaries, stop giving them money and stop paying their, all of the things. And it, because of that, it made me so much stronger in my sobriety, and it just builds more confidence. Like, man, if I would have drank that first day, and I would have felt so much shame that I wouldn't have even had that conversation to begin with, like with them, and I wouldn't have felt comfortable being like, oh, I'm sober. Like it just wouldn't have worked. And man, I found since making the commitment to get sober that it's such a hard thing to do, to build that habit of not doing something, that now I'm able to apply those tools into developing different habits. I know for myself, the last 3 years I've been like a sugar junkie. Like I can't eat enough ice cream, enough candy. Like I've just like substituted everything for sugar. Like it's just what I did. I gained a lot of weight, which was okay. Like I justified it, but now we're getting married. I don't want to look like a fat slob for the wedding photos. So now I'm able to apply that discipline of not drinking into eating healthier and progressively getting into working out as I build up stamina from, all. And I can do that on almost anything, build habits, because I was able to conquer like the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Well, and part of that too, like that happens to a lot of people in sobriety in the program, right? Is they're just like it's it, they're basically replenishing their serotonin levels, right? Like that happens, and like eating sugar and shit like that. And I went through drinking like I'd buy big gulps from fucking 7-Eleven of Coca-Cola, right? And just fuck pound them every single morning. I'd have a meeting at 5:30 in the morning in North Austin when I was living there. And I would just fucking go to 7-Eleven, get that Coke, Right after my meeting, I'd go to 7-Eleven, get another Coke. I'd go walk with my sponsor and a couple other guys that were in the program that had like 30 years of fucking sobriety, 35 years of sobriety. And we'd go fucking walk. After that, I'd go get another Coke. And I was literally doing that for like every single waking moment, right? And then finally, I was, why am I drinking Coke? I don't even fucking like Coca-Cola, right? Like, it's just like a sugar. And that's the one thing that my body needed, right? Like, detoxing off of alcohol. And I mean, it's one of those things, man. It's, yeah, you're right. Like, I put so much effort into drinking when I could have been putting so much effort in everything else. And the thing that really happened for me, right, is like I was in that weird transition right after my son was born, where I was kind of in limbo of jobs, right? I was working for a tech company that was doing the web design stuff, and I was working, so many hours a week at home until I decided to go full time. So I was able to be there for my son after that first initial 6 months. My wife was off work. Him and I got to hang out, my oldest son, right? Like every single day for, that period of time. So it was fucking rad. And that was kind of my replacement, right? Like I had care and care for a little fucking human being who was mine, not looking a trip, right?
During that time, did you think like I wouldn't be able to do this the way I'm doing it if I was still drinking? Like, do
Oh,
you have those
absolutely. Oh,
epiphanies?
yeah,
Because I still
absolutely.
do all the time. I'm like, man, I wouldn't be able to wake up when I wake up to do work. I wouldn't be able to get as much done throughout the day if I was hungover. Like, that's the one thing that keeps me, one of the things aside from losing everything good in my life is just not being hungover.
Not
Like
feeling like shit, right?
every year that like I hit my like sober anniversary, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Like, man, how many Saturdays, how many Sundays have I gone without waking up without a hangover? Like
Yeah.
that in itself, man, like I don't miss those days, the like shaking and feeling anxious and depressed. What did I say to who last night? Like going through my text messages and being like, why did I think this was funny to say this to this person at 3 o'clock in the morning as an adult? Like
Yeah.
drunk calling people that I haven't talked to in 2 years on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock in the morning and wondering why they don't answer when I call six times. Like,
Oh, yeah.
what is wrong with me? Or
Yeah.
writing like mean shit on social media to people that I think they're gonna understand this inside joke that I made up in my head. You know, like it's so weird, man. I don't miss any of that. And I also am to the point in my sobriety where I can be around drunk people, not drunk people drinking. I still can't be around drunk people around. I get secondhand embarrassment. Like I feel like when I see a drunk person now that I end up seeing myself in them. You know what I mean? Hold on, the mic went out.
Yeah, I think something just happened to your mic.
Can you hear me now?
I mean, I can hear you, just it's a little
Muffled?
yeah.
Well, this might be a good time since we've been talking for a long time. Maybe we could wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm yeah, whatever works for you, man. I mean, I've got all the time in the world.
We're gonna do it again. We'll do it again for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I gotta get ready for dinner anyways.
Yeah.
I still like eating.
Oh, well, I know. That's the problem with it, isn't it? I love eating.
All right.
Well, good, dude, man. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's we go way back. It's always good to talk to you. I mean, it's fun to chat about, mental health, all our sobriety, all our thoughts around sobriety and mental health, working. All that shit. I mean, there's so much we could keep talking about. I'm kind of glad that we got into the more in-depth psychological aspects of our thinking and feeling instead of just surface level work shit, right? And I love you to death, and I'm so proud to call you a friend and listen to you and watch you on your journey, man. Like I said, I'm gonna fucking do better than you in my business.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Hey, do you mind plugging yourself? Tell people where they can find your hot sauce, how to get a hold of you. That way, people know where to pick up your awesome
Yeah,
sauce?
so my hot sauce, the name of my company is Fucking Hot Sauces. You can find me just by searching on Google, Fucking Hot Sauces. But if you type in FXCKING hotsauces.com, you can go to my website. I do markets all over DFW. One thing I didn't get the chance to tell you about, and I'll tell you about it, but I am actually at the throes of planning a hot sauce festival here in North Texas. We don't really have one. We're gathering 27, 28 hot sauce companies from all over Texas to come together and throw a big thing. So I'm organizing that. That's really taking up a big chunk of time. But now that we've got it organized, I get to sit back and relax for the next month or two. But yeah. My hot sauces, fucking hot sauces, man. I make beef jerky and spice rubs too. I think you've had it all, haven't you?
Not the spice rubs.
You haven't had them? I'm
Send
assuming
me a
so.
care package, bro.
I'll send you a care package with some more beef jerky since you ate it all. You fucking
I'm
just
gonna
don't be
need
surprised if
to
it takes a week and a half thanks to
eat.
USPS, motherfuckers.
That's fine. I don't mind at all. I don't mind at
All
all.
right, bud. Well,
All
hey, love
right.
you. Thank you for having me. And we'll talk here soon.
Absolutely. I love you, brother. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in to this week's 21 Gram Speaks. I hope somebody was able to get something out of it. If even it's just one person, it makes it worth it to us because that's
Absolutely.
what this is all about. It's just a conversation. If it's something that you guys enjoy, pass it on to a friend if you think that it might be able to help somebody else out. Until next week, we will talk to you guys later. All right. See ya.
Thanks, guys. Bye.